Nothing like King David's music to calm you down. You know, I remember he used to play his harp for King Saul, and whenever Saul was in one of his temper tantrums or he had evil spirits around him, David would play his harp and settle him down. Oh, no, I didn't. It's in. I don't know. So we're going to go back to Deuteronomy. We haven't been there for a while. After all, I think the people were still somewhere in the wilderness before we did all these other things. And now, of course, we're going to get ready for the fall feasts, which are coming quick. So 3 weeks from tonight, we'll do Rosh Hashanah. Then the following Friday, we'll do Yom Kippur. And then the first Friday of October, we'll do Sukkot. So I think we still have Norm Sukkot somewhere we can put together. We had fun with that last year. So tonight we're going to go back to Deuteronomy. We're going to be in chapter 18. Remember, Deuteronomy's written all within sight of the land on the east bank of the Jordan just before they go across. Deuteronomy is kind of the most compact book. It's all written in a short period of time. And if you remember, the name comes from second law, from Duro, which means two, and Nomos, which is law. And it's kind of a repetition of a lot of things. But unlike the other four books of Moses, the story is told by Moses rather than by God. So Moses is the narrator of it. So in chapter 18, they're still getting instructions on what's going to happen when they get into the land. We've been through this. Don't be like the people. Don't worship their gods. Don't do business with them. Don't marry them. Don't go to their temples. Don't hang out with them. You're not supposed to be contaminated by them because you're a special people and you're my inheritance. Later on, of course, in Deuteronomy, God's going to tell Moses, Moses is going to tell the people that when they get to the land, they're not going to want God as their king anymore. They're going to want a king of their own. So in 1 Samuel, we see, although they're supposed to be separate and be a unique people, they say, we want to be just like everybody else. We want to have a king. Just like today, you know, the church is saying, we want to be just like everybody else. We don't want to do all that old-fashioned law and moral stuff. We want to be just like everybody else because we want everybody to like us. We want to be like with it. We want everybody to feel good when they come here. So we're not going to talk about sin. We're not going to talk about the cross. We're not going to talk about that stuff. We're going to talk about being happy and do happy things. So as they're getting ready to go into the land, and at this point, remember, it's been 40 years since they left Egypt. So if you have a Bible, I know this is hard, but verse 9, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do those things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. So you're not supposed to do these things, because this is what the pagans do. Fortune tellers, witchcraft, mediums, spiritists. You know, you're not supposed to have a seance to see if we can contact Uncle Joe, who died 2 years ago. That's necromancy. You're not supposed to do these things. You're not supposed to pass your children through the fire. This was a common practice in the land of Cana to the god Moloch. They used to sacrifice babies to Moloch by throwing them into fire. So, lest you think we're any better, we're killing our babies in abortion mills. on the altar of free sex, free love, and no responsibility. We just do it a little more quiet way rather than throwing them into the fire. So he was a sun god, and so the children were sacrificed to him. No arts of divination. That's somebody who predicts the future. Astrologer. Because, after all, knowledge of the future is not necessarily for you to know. Or if you are to know knowledge of the future, it's going to be revealed to you by God, not through some person. Because when that person does those things, he or she is being influenced by a demon. When he or she contacts Uncle Joe, it's not actually Uncle Joe that they're talking to. They may be talking to somebody, but it's not Uncle Joe. This has gotten, you know, this sounds like it's all ancient superstition, but this has gotten popular in our time. You drive down the street and see psychics and tarot cards and all this stuff. This is what he's condemning. These things are not from God. We all know that. This is preaching to the choir over here. Now, you know, some people look in the newspaper and check their horoscope out every morning just to kind of see what's going on. Well, you shouldn't be doing that. Because your future is not by a group of stars that only look to us like they're close together. They're not really close together at all. Constellations are just our point of view of those stars. Astronomically, they're not anywhere near each other. So these things are not from God, and he's warning them again not to do these things when he goes into the land. For all you who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, he drives them out. The people in the land were doing these things, and they're driven out. So they can't contaminate the people. They do anyway. But so they can't contaminate the people. In fact, God is so strict about this that he even tells the people to kill them and to kill everybody in the towns where these things are done so that the people wouldn't be contaminated. You shall be blameless. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you dispossess listened to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. You're not going to be like these people. You're not going to do their superstitions. You're not going to let that stuff influence you. You know, the New Age movement has brought this back. Lots of young people are now influenced by these demonic things. Because remember when the people were leaving the land, Pharaoh's magicians had some power too. There can be false signs, miracles, things that look like miracles, things that look like signs and wonders, but they're false signs, false wonders. But people are being influenced by this. So you people have to consider this, because you've been 40 years in the desert with me after I delivered you, and you're my special inheritance. You're not going to be like these other people. Now, are we any different than that? No. Because we listen to him, but we always kind of hedge our bets. You know, we trust that God's going to provide for whatever it is. But on the other hand, maybe we need to work a little more. Maybe we need to get some more money together. Maybe we should go talk to somebody who can help me with this thing. You know, we're not going to just trust in him. We're going to take care. We're going to hedge our bets around that. Maybe the horoscope will tell me something I shouldn't do today or I should do today. You know, is this a good day to spend money? I don't know. Maybe I should check the horoscope. Is this a good day to travel? I don't know. Maybe I should check the horoscope. These things are an abomination. So he detests the people that do these things. You know, to most of us, this sounds kind of silly. but this is serious business. And those people were going to be removed from the land so that the people could go in. So when you get to the land, this is my land, you're my people, this stuff is going to be gotten rid of from the land. And we know as time went on, they were influenced by idolatry. They were influenced by things. Even King Saul went to the witch. King Saul went to the witch to have her bring Samuel back so he could talk to him. This was serious business. How many people have you heard, well, you know, I know Uncle Joe's still here because the lights go off and on and sometimes he talks to me. And people take that seriously. So the Levitical priests were supposed to teach the people about the law, about the covenant. They were there to mediate fellowship with the Lord. They were supposed to be guardians of this law, and they knew all these revelations of God. So the, quote, religious class was really supposed to be teaching and enforcing this. But later, they also got involved in idolatry. They all worshipped images in the temple. The people in the northern kingdom built temples to other gods on high places, which was a horrible abomination. And so when Amos and some others went to tell them, they said, mind your own business, Amos. We got our own king, we got our own priests over here. So they violate everything not long after they get to the land. So they're supposed to be blameless before the Lord. They're supposed to be instructed in these things. So in order to be instructed, they have to be taught. Remember, not everybody could read and write. They couldn't just like pass out scrolls to people. First of all, there weren't a lot of scrolls. And secondly, 90% of people couldn't read and write. In order to have even a complete collection of the scriptures was an amazing undertaking, because you had to have, I don't know how many scrolls it comes out to be, but it's a lot of scrolls. Even just having the Torah was quite an accomplishment, because everything had to be hand-copied. So they had to hear what God wanted from them. They had to be taught these things. Now, in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, it talks about in times past, God talks to us through the prophets. But in these last days, he talks to us through his son. So God, in a not visible form other than the Shekinah, remember, said, don't make forms of things, because you, when you hear my voice and see my power, you don't see a form. So don't make forms. Don't make forms of anything in heaven, on earth, under the earth. You don't make a form that looks like anything. But in these latter times, he speaks to us through his son, who is seen as a human man who talks just like everybody else talks, although with a hillbilly accent. But he talks like everybody there talks. You know, in the first letter of John, right at the beginning, John says, we saw him, we heard him, we touched him. That which was from before the beginning, we hung out with. Because in Colossians it says, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. So, in order to communicate to the people, what's going to happen? 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet, capital P, like me, from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. Remember at Mount Sinai, they said, we can't deal with this. Clouds, lightning, thundering, Shekinah glory. The people said, we can't deal with this. Have God talk to Moses, then have Moses talk to us. We can't deal with this power. We can't handle it. So God says, fine. I'm going to raise up a prophet. Remember, this is Moses narrating. I'm going to raise up a prophet from among you, from your brethren, and you're going to listen to him. He's going to tell you the law. Before Moses told you the law. I told Moses the law. I was in a cloud. Moses couldn't see anything except a cloud. You couldn't see anything except a cloud and lightning. But now, he's going to raise up a prophet like me from your brethren. So he's going to be a person. He's going to come from the brethren. He's not going to be Chinese. He's not going to come from Scandinavia. He's not going to be like a Greek. He's going to come from your brethren. And he is going to talk to you so you can hear him. Because that's what you people want. You don't want to see the power and the glory. You don't want to deal with that. So a line of prophets would come. Right? We all know this. A line of prophets. There were a lot of prophets. Major prophets, minor prophets. All the minor prophets were in one scroll. That's how little they wrote. All the major prophets had their own scrolls. So if you had your own scroll, that was pretty cool. That means you wrote a lot of stuff. So a line of prophets would come, and they're chosen. Remember, he says, I'm going to raise up a prophet from among you. God's going to choose the prophet that he's going to raise up. So if somebody didn't go to the leaders, didn't go to the tent, didn't go to the temple, and said, I've been thinking about this, and I think I want to be a prophet. Everybody who was a prophet knew that they were supposed to be a prophet because they were told they were going to be a prophet. Remember, Jeremiah said, I'm just a youth. What can you do with me? He was a teenage boy. God says, don't say you're a youth. I'm going to tell you what to say. Ezekiel had to eat the scroll. Remember, it was real sweet in his mouth, but when it got to his stomach, it was hard and bitter. So the prophets are chosen. And they're commissioned. They're commissioned to speak his word. They're not random people who go around quoting Bible verses like I'm doing here. These are people that are chosen, they're commissioned, and the Spirit is on them saying, this is what you're going to tell the people. Almost every single one of them was killed. And almost every single one of them was killed in Jerusalem. Jerusalem killed all the prophets. Remember in Matthew 23, Jesus said, oh, you guys, you adorn the tombs of the prophets, and you make them all nice. You bring the flowers and the little flags, and Memorial Day, you bring the little flag, and you say, oh, had we been there, we wouldn't have done what our fathers did. And he says, yes, you would have, because you're just like them. So, they're commissioned to speak his word. And like we talked about last week at the vineyard, they didn't listen to the messengers that came. They didn't listen when the owner sent the messengers to talk about where's the fruit. You know, the prophets didn't just talk about Messiah. They talked about how the people were living. They talked about how they weren't following the law. They talked about how there was idolatry going on, and so destruction was coming. So the people don't need divination, and they don't need familiar spirits, and they don't need astrologers like the pagans have, because God is going to send people, men for the most part, is going to send men to tell the people his messages. He has spoken to us through the prophets in times past. And Moses being first and foremost, because he writes down the word, he writes down the law, he becomes a mediator, right? He's the mediator of the old covenant. And he sprinkles the people with blood. The covenant is sealed in blood. But the people don't need these things because they have that. Why in the world would believing Christians read their horoscope or say, oh, good luck today on whatever it is? You know, I wished my neighbor good luck when she went to the doctor today. You know, why do people talk like that? This is what God condemns. There's no good luck. I mean, unless you're a pagan. You don't go to your astrologer and say, should I go on this trip tomorrow or should I wait till next month? And the astrologer says, oh, you better wait till next month because Saturn is in the thing and the moon's over there. And you make a mockery of God being the one who planned your life and who has a plan for your life. Right? So at Mount Sinai, they were afraid. They didn't want God to speak directly. It was too much. We need a mediator. We need Moses to tell us. Talk to Moses. You like him, obviously. We're scared to death of you. So talk to Moses. And then he can tell us. So also in this prophecy, back in Deuteronomy 18, is another manifestation of the Messiah, who's the ultimate mediator. Right? There's no other mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 4. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So the ultimate mediator. Oh, here we go. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. You guys wanted Moses to be your mediator. Now there's going to be another mediator coming. He's going to be the ultimate mediator. Paul, after he was Saul, says, I'm appointed to preach about him. I never physically met him, but I did meet him. And he told me a lot of stuff. So I'm appointed to be an apostle just like those other guys were. I was appointed to be a prophet just like those other guys were. And like Moses, he's going to be a leader. Like Moses, he's going to be the mediator of a covenant. He's going to be from the people. You know, the book of Hebrews talks about how a high priest is chosen from among the people to do that office. They wouldn't have picked a Greek to come and be high priest, right? They wouldn't have said, let's get some smart Egyptian guy here to be high priest. Somebody who's read a lot of books. No, the high priest came from among them. The book of Hebrews talks about how Yeshua came from the people, and he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Because he's our brother in the flesh. He's the brother of the people. So he's going to come from among you, this ultimate mediator. And this is mentioned in John chapter 6. When the people are listening to Jesus, they say, wow, we know the prophet is coming. And this guy's doing signs and wonders. Maybe he's the prophet. You know, when people went in Caesarea Philippi, one of the accounts, I can't remember which gospel it's in, when Jesus says, who do people say that the Son of Man is? One of them says, the prophet, capital P, which was this. So he was above all these other people that came as prophets, and he was a direct revelation because he was the Word made flesh. He was the Word incarnate who was from the beginning. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, And he shall speak to them all I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. So God, this is God in the sense of God the Father talking, saying, when this prophet comes, I'm going to raise him up. I'm going to put my words in his mouth. He's going to talk to them and tell them exactly what I tell him to say. And whoever doesn't hear these words, there's going to be consequences. It's not going to be like when the people said, oh, Jeremiah, you're so boring. You're a big poop. We need a prophet that gives us some happy news. This is different. If you don't listen to this prophet, there's going to be consequences. Because he's the Word, John chapter 1, and he's the light of the world, John chapter 8. This is not like the other prophets. Now, because Jesus commonly says, I just say what the Father, what I hear the Father say. I speak what the Father speaks. I'm doing his will. Now, does that mean that Jesus, that divine Jesus is somehow inferior to God the Father as God? Does it mean he's inferior to the Holy Spirit as God? Is he less God than they are? No. Function is different. Equal in majesty, equal in everything, equal in majesty, equal in all the attributes of God, but function is different. He's been sent, and he brings the message from the Father to the people, like a prophet did, although God's direct words are going to come to the people through him in a way that you have to hear what he has to say in order, we know, to be saved. Whereas they wouldn't understand that. They would know that this was, that not listening to him was going to have serious consequences. You know, people say to me all the time, you take this Jesus thing way too seriously. Why can't you just go to church on Sunday morning like a normal person? Because after all, I want to fit him into the schedule. But he's going to have consequences. It's going to be from his brethren. You know, he's going to be born. You know, in Galatians chapter 4, it says he's born of a woman. He didn't just materialize. He came literally from his brethren, literally descended from those people that were at Mount Sinai, right? Physically came from them. He's born in the land, dies and rises in Jerusalem, which is the holy city, the place where God put his name, the place where all the prophets were killed. Moses showed a lot of signs and wonders. You know, we've been through the plagues and we've been through all this stuff, and Moses could turn the river into blood, and Pharaoh's magicians could do some of that too. And he was a deliverer, because after all, he, in obedience, got the people ready, instructed the people what they had to do, and then delivered them out of slavery. So he was a mediator. They went into a new dispensation, so to speak. They weren't slaves anymore. They were on their way to the land. So when Jesus comes, he does signs and wonders, way more than Moses. Moses never said, stand up and walk. Never raised anybody from the dead. Never multiplied food. Never talked like the Father and I are one, before Abraham was, I am. Never said the I am things that are in the book of John. Moses never did. He's a deliverer because he's an ultimate deliverer. Not just to the people, but also to the Gentiles, to us. And he's the ultimate mediator, prophet with a capital P. As we know, he sits at the right hand of the Father, constantly interceding for us. So this is the new and the final dispensation. Because Moses was a servant of the house talks about in the book of Hebrews. Moses was a servant in the house. Moses didn't own the house. Moses didn't build the house. Moses was a servant in the house. But Yeshua's the son of the house. He's the owner of the house. His father owns the house. He's the son. Moses was a servant. So, as heir to everything, because he becomes the ultimate mediator, because he brings the final covenant, the new and eternal covenant, and because he's the ultimate deliverer, and because he sits at the right hand of the Father forever making intercession, we become adopted sons and daughters, and we become co-heirs. We don't own the house. We weren't born in the house. But because of the ultimate mediator, we become co-heirs with Christ, as Paul says in Romans. And so now we can say Abba. Because at Sinai, the people were afraid of the glory and the power. Now a man, capital M, speaks to them. Can't see the glory. He had a normal voice. He looked just like everybody else. Remember, there was nothing. Isaiah says there was nothing that would have made you think anything was different about him. He wasn't glowing or shining. He was walking on the ground just like everybody else. He got tired. He said, you know, I don't want to talk to you guys anymore. I want to go to sleep now. I'm hungry. Let's get something to eat. Anybody have a Starbucks gift card? Let's go get something. Judas, did you bring the credit cards so we can get some supper? Just like everybody else. So now this human form speaks to them, even though he's the Word made flesh in the splendor of the Father. In Colossians chapter 1, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. So he's the prophet, capital P, that Moses talks about in Deuteronomy 18. But different, of course, than the line of prophets that came. The ultimate prophet, the ultimate deliverer. In fact, here we are, 2,000 years later, more or less, and he's still delivering people. And he will be until he comes back, which I hope is today. But he's still going to be delivering people when he comes back, until he comes back. So, whoa. So what do you think? Fun or not? I think it's pretty fun. Now imagine Moses couldn't understand any of this, right? How could Moses have possibly understood this? Like we always say on the radio show, you know, when they're experiencing things in real time, you know, we look back at it and say, oh, wow. Moses was probably really excited to know about Messiah. Well, when he's hearing these words, you know, he has no way to understand it. He knew about it later, because after all, at the Transfiguration, he was there. And Peter, of course, always making a human solution to everything, said, hey, let's just make some tents, and you guys can hang out, and we'll just hang out over here. Call Norm, he'll build us a little house, and we'll just stay here. So, any questions? Comments? Comments?